time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear, no fear, no fear here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, back from my trip to Jamaica, man. We went on a Caribbean cruise, and my good friend Mark Victor, partner in the Freedom Summit, got married to Tracy, and it was a very interesting no-state project, know what I mean? They just had Randy Paulson, a good friend of ours, did a great service, and there's a lot of friends and so on that went there as family. Some flew in, some went on the cruise, and it was by the power vested in me by Mark and Tracy, I wed thee. I mean, I was like, cool, very cool. Now, she went ahead and changed her name, you know, legally. I guess she had, you know, some state interaction there, but they didn't do the state kind of sanctioned wedding thing. And but they went all the power attorneys, everything to where you have all the, you don't have problems with making sure you're a couple and somebody gets to go into your hospital room kind of deal. But they said, you know what, we're just not going to have the state involved in this thing. And it was really a beautiful ceremony. It was a beautiful location. It was a very, very, very nice. We'll talk about that another time. Now, what I want to do today is Angela Keaton from antiwar.com is on. And while it was... Right, the weekend before Pork Fest, there was a libertarian function to where Angela Keaton, myself, Mary Ruart, and Judge John Buttrick from here, Maricopa County in Phoenix, Arizona, we all spoke on the future of the libertarian movement. And one of the things that Angela made a big deal out of is that this anti-war movement, we went through this during the last couple presidential election cycles and how it just got co-opted by they, them, those. Now the bad guys. Excuse me. So the bad guys, what they did is they, you know, they get you all in one kind of collective and then they do what they want. And yeah, they said, and we get to be the spokesperson and say what, and that's not how it's going to work. And she recognized that and saw that there was an opportunity for us to have a wide coalition along with people that were definitely anti-war, but they definitely weren't libertarian, and how we're going to go about that. And that's going to be an interesting discussion that she and I are going to have, and a gentleman that she had attend, and that will be on in the second hour, John Walsh, is a very well-known individual, author. He's in a book called ComeHomeAmerica.us, and it has a compilation of a lot of other authors that wanted to make sure that the anti-war message got out there, and Angela is going to be attacking this from a little bit different perspective, and we'll talk about that. But first, in the rest of this segment, I wanted to talk with Drew Phillips and Angela Keaton were at this last weekend's Freedom Fest in Las Vegas. And they got to, you know, meet up and have a good time and see what's up and confab with each other. And I wanted to talk to Drew real quick. You know, go ahead and tell us, man, what was Freedom Fest like? The dominant theme was what?
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. But we had a good time at the conference. Us libertarians and hardcore. It's a mixed bag at Freedom Fest. You got people of all stripes there, but we all come under a common banner that we want freedom. At least most of us do. And there were a lot of good speakers. Some more appealing to me than others, but I enjoyed that, and I enjoyed working the vending floor and sharing some of my ideas and projects with other people there. And like you said, I got to have lunch with people like Angela Keaton and Butler Schaefer and a lot of other great names. So I certainly had a good time in Vegas and got a lot of work done showing off the magazine and the cards and such.
Angela, you've gone to these for a long time, and I'm wondering, you know, has there been an evolution of the Freedom Fest? Because they get a lot of people there. They get thousands of people will go to this, say they're for freedom. How long have you been going? How long has it been going on? Has there been an evolution of philosophy at this event?
For the purposes of our public discussion, I'll just say that I've been going probably since the first one, I think, which is in 2000 or 2001. It tends to be, you know, certain elements that are mixed conservative, different kinds of conservative gold bugs and certain kinds of old school libertarians. I kind of look at it more as a trade show for the precious metals and for investors, but it has plenty of libertarian overtones. There's plenty of opportunities for people like me to go in and talk to people who don't normally think about foreign policy. Of course, libertarians have consistently and for forever have been anti-intervention. So it's actually not that difficult, but it's a great place to start conversations with people that I don't normally reach. And what's really important here is for me not to create new libertarians, but for me to end the war, to do a rollback on the empire. And that's what I'm kind of keeping the focus on, and that's what I kept the focus on this weekend as I talked to people about Come Home America. And what's great about Come Home America is you can be a conservative, you can be a patriot, you can feel comfortable with being an American and understand that peace is patriotic. And the most patriotic thing we can do, the most American thing we can do, is be a republic, not an empire.
Well, this is what's the evolution been over the last decade there? I mean, were they more Republican, neocon, becoming more libertarian? Has it, you know, waxed and waned? Is there a dominant theme coming out now?
It does wax and wane. I mean, we're probably just we're kind of getting into areas, into water I don't necessarily want to tread into at the moment. But, you know, Freedom's Fest is a worthwhile, it's a worthwhile event, but it does change from year to year. Some years the makeup is much, much more conservative and not particularly a kind of conservative that I'm necessarily comfortable with. I'm not a cultural conservative, so sometimes the event isn't always a perfect match, but that's even better because we want to build a healthy anti-war movement. We need all kinds of people, including people who are not as libertarian as you and I are.
Well, you know, the one thing we're having in this segment that's scrolling on our video is the dime cards. And Drew went up there for that particular purpose, to expose this group to this. And it's been kind of getting a lot of notoriety since Porkfest. And, you know, like Peter Schiff had a piece in his subscribers. We had the Mises Institute, Bob Murphy wrote something about it. And when you exposed it there, who was the people most interested? I mean, who were they? Were they young? Were they other people? Did it get any attention at all? Tell us what happened, Drew.
Just mostly people that were involved with Silver. Actually, a lot of younger people didn't quite get it. I think Angela liked it. I don't know, Angela, what did you think?
I thought it was an amazing application. I mean, but at first, I like my hard money. So seeing something that modern and so easy where I don't have to think very much about making change or various conversions in my head, I thought it was fantastic. I think it'll be a very successful application. Probably indispensable within a year.
Indispensable. That's a good word, because I'm seeing it going to that. Because, Angela, you and I have been around long enough to know that the biggest pushback on going to an alternative currency has been, well, how do you implement it? You know, what are you going to use? How are you going to get confidence into using that versus and making change and all that kind of stuff? But they've answered all those questions, and I can see this being the future.
And also, too, I mean, for those people who are concerned about their, you know, a lot of people, of course, resist taxes because, well, obviously, for all kinds of reasons. But one of the reasons being is that they don't want their money used overseas to kill people. And if you deal, the more you deal privately with hard currencies, the less you're interacting with the state and the war machine. So this is I see it as a piece. It's peace money, really.
Peace money.
I like that. I like
peace
that.
Peace money.
You well, know, Angela and I
feel a new domain coming on.
Angela and I have to talk about the anti-war nickel some other time when we have more time. But, you know, it's fun banging in here for the first 15 minutes, Ernie. And I'll just say that Freedom's Phoenix was well represented, if I can use that word, at the fest. And we all, us hardcore libertarians, little L's, had a good time and had
some
fun.
I'm glad you guys went. And I had choice of Freedom Fest or the Caribbean and, we know where I went. So the thing is that it's a good opportunity for us to get to meet with the people that need the message and influence that we have. And one of the people that really, we're all glad that she was there, is Angela Keaton from antiwar.com. Now, when we come back, we're going to go ahead and focus on the book and the coalition that Angela Keaton has been able to bring together by, well, the methods, you know, some you agree and some may not. But I'll tell you. You know, we got to have somebody doing this anti-war thing, or we're going to constantly be at war.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
What's wrong with the world, mama? People living like they ain't got no mamas. I think the whole world's addicted to the drama. Only attracted to things that'll bring the trauma. Overseas, yeah, we trying to stop terrorism. But we still got terrorists here living in the USA, the big CIA. The Bloods and the Crips and the KKK. But if you only have love for your own race, then you only leave space to discriminate. And to discriminate only generates hate. And when you hate, then you're bound to get irate. Yeah, madness is what you demonstrate. And that's exactly how anger works and operates. Man, you gotta have love just to set it straight. Take control of your mind and meditate. Let your soul gravitate to the love, y'all.
People killing, people dying, children hurting. Practice what you preach, and would you turn the other cheek? Father, 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 help us, send some guidance from above. These people got me questioning, where is the love?
Well, it's right here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and I know Angela Keaton, antiwar.com, is, you know, got some love in her heart. And this is one thing that I want to emphasize, something that was a surprise to me, and a lot of people, I don't know how you'll take this, but I understand where she's going, and it's going to be a powerful method. And I want to, you know, give you, paint the picture for you. It is a libertarian convention in Manchester, New Hampshire, right before Portfest. And that was really Massachusetts event done by George Phillies, which has been involved in Libertarian Party stuff for a long time. Now, what was done, the focus of it was, what's the future of the libertarian movement? And then Angela got up and opened up the anti-war, I guess, breakout it was. And she got up and she said, look, and John Walsh, one of the authors in the book, Come Home America.us, he was there, a progressive from the left. And a lot of people that are anti-war, we remember from during the Bush years and so on, you had the anti-war movement that kind of got co-opted by the Move On and different organizations that all they wanted was to use the passion against war in the furtherance of the Democratic Party as if they were anti-war. Well, we're finding out, certainly with the first administration of Obama, that they're anything but. But what happened is Angela said this. She goes, when libertarians go to these anti-war coalitions, when we go and we speak to these people and we start to overlap our interests and coalesce and start to build coalitions, you check your libertarianism at the door. And I'm like, you know, I'm okay. You know, how will that work? Well, I'm reminded here in Arizona during the anti-war movement, even while we were doing libertarian workshops, while we had Freedom's Phoenix workshop, and during the anti-war movement and so on, during Ron Paul's campaign, and even before, Mike Duggar used to be the state chairman of the Libertarian Party here, and he's a postal carrier in Phoenix. He would go to these anti-war movements, because he knew from past experience, he's been a very experienced libertarian activist, and he offered his services of providing the public address system. He's like, look, I got speakers, I do the karaoke thing, I got, you know, in his spare time, he loves doing karaoke, so he's got all the DJ stuff. I'll take care of the audio. So whenever they go to any event, he was there with his kit and has a pickup truck come in, put up the stuff, boom, you got your sound taken care of. But he had a predetermined mission that when he went to these anti-war movement things, he would keep them on mission, because we all knew what was going to happen. He made it very clear to me. He goes, I know what's going to happen. There's going to be Democratic leadership, there's going to be Democratic Party guys, there's going to be campaigns for Congress, for this, for whatever. They see a parade they want to jump in front of. They see an opportunity. Now we need to take all this passion, everything, go get some Democrats elected. I mean, it's like it's a playbook that they use. So what he did, he didn't bring it. They knew he was a libertarian. They knew his background. They knew who he was. He didn't bring any. He did exactly what Angela advised. Check your libertarianism at the door. Focus on the anti-war part. But what he did is when they started bringing up the progressive social justice, we got to look at how much money we'd save from not dropping all these bombs so that we could rob you to spend it on whatever the heck it is that the progressives wanted to do. So he's going, look, man, if you do this, I'll bring in my boys. You know, you want to play? We'll have this libertarian. We'll go head-to-head and have this, you know, keep it on message. And he was, in the most part, very effective. And it was following exactly what Angela was saying. So I understood what she was saying and how powerful that would be and keep it on message. But I'll tell you, you look at the names involved in comehomeamerica.us, and these people, a lot of them are in politics, and they see the power. But they've had, I don't know if a change of heart, or they just, their conscience got to them, or they wanted to be effective in the anti-war movement. So they brought these people together to do that. Now, John Walsh, one of the prominent authors in this that Angela brought, and we'll get to that in a second, in exchange of emails back and forth to have him scheduled for this, we agreed that we were back in New Hampshire that he would come on the show. He's kind of, the more I'm exposed to libertarians, the more sympathy he has for our reasoning and certainly our commitment to principle. So that's where I lead up to you, Angela, is that it already has had an effect, the method that you're talking about. I've seen it work in the past, and that they are starting to come around to why we are anti-war. And it's not just to build a coalition to do something else. It's because we're anti-war. So I want you to walk me through your relationship with these people, how you got involved with them, and what you think the future is going to be.
Well, first I want to do a really special thanks to someone whose efforts on this have been complete, who's been tireless, and I mean on every level, which is Kevin Zeis. And Kevin, for libertarians who've been around a while, Kevin was a longtime Green Party activist, attorney for Ralph Nader's campaign, has been extremely active and effective in the medical marijuana, as well as the anti-war movement. And he, with him on the left, and his leftist credentials are impeccable. And then with George O'Neill of Pat Buchanan's campaign, someone really from the old right, began with a conference in February of 2010. It was held the same weekend as CPAC. And it had, names that surprise and shock you. Everyone from, Nation editor Katrina Vandenhoevel and Robert Dreyfus, to people from the Students for Democratic Society, to Glenn Ford from the Black Agenda Report, to Doug Bandow from Cato, to Jesse Walker from Reason. They spent 8 hours and they hammered out what an effective anti-war movement would look like, and a focused anti-war movement would look like. And what came out of that was this book that's edited by Paul Buell, who's a longtime historian from Brown University, Bill Kaufman, who of course should be known to every listener in your audience, is probably one of the finest writers on Americana from a libertarian perspective, George O'Neill and Kevin Zeis. And in this, I mean, it's an amazing compendium. Of course, Katrina Vandenhoevel, Jesse Walker, John Walsh have articles in here. But, of course, names you're familiar with, too, like Tom Woods and Sheldon Richman. And from the left, Murray Polner, and several from Ralph Nader, and historian David Beto, and the historian from the left, Carl Oglesby, and Daniel McCarthy from the American Conservative. And just these are excellent series of modern essays against the war from all over the political spectrum. And it's very clearly laid out. No one's left out here. We've got Cindy Sheehan, Medea Benjamin, Justin Raimondo. And it's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to talk to other people where they come from.
When we come back, we'll get some more detail from Angela Keaton on this, but I'm really interested in how it's going to play into the 2012 election cycle and into American culture. What happens when all these minds come together against war? I don't know. We'll find out.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEA beautiful studios of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com, here at the farm. We're getting ready with knowledge. Well, one of the main things that you can do if you want to accomplish peace in our lifetime is at least be able to make the argument that people can understand of that's like better than not. I mean, a lot of people there, it's like the British Empire, you had to have a war all the time so the young men can go off and be heroes or martyrs for it. and for the empire. And the empire is in a constant state of war was always, in their mindset and their culture, a good thing. Well, it's not a good thing. And with instantaneous communications and YouTubes and people being able to tell their stories and winter soldiers and all everything, that, you know what? War is bad. It is bad. It's very bad. And it's starting to permeate across our entire culture. And people are coming together to demonstrate from their perspective why it's bad. And for a lot of people, they're concerned about the coalitions that are starting to come together against the empire itself. And when that coalition gets wide and deep, all of a sudden you have an entire shift in your entire culture and what's left. Just the bad guys saying they're in control when the mind has already been freed. And Angela understands this, and she's working to bring this coalition to the fore. And that's one reason why she's traveling around a lot, making sure people know that this opportunity for cooperative effort exists. And what is it that you're looking to promote? I mean, what is actually happening? What is it that you're looking to have happen from this effort, and what has already happened?
Well, the general purpose is it's a broad-based, single-issue focus. We're rolling back the empire, so pulling out of the Middle East and Central Asia will be the first things that we're working on. And what's not happening in the current anti-war movement, if we're taking, we have empirical evidence on this. Michael Heaney from the University of Michigan did an excellent study, and he's someone who is very sympathetic to Obama and is a moderate liberal, but he's an anti-war activist first and a scholar, and he did the research, and yes, there was a significant breakdown in the anti-war movement as soon as the Obama nomination seemed to be a lock, and there were several reasons for this. But what was left was, of course, ANSWER. And, God bless Code Pink. We love them. But that approach is a very narrow approach that's only going to appeal to certain women on the left in a certain age group. It's not broad-based enough. And ANSWER, of course, has never been able to be serious about the war. I mean, they'll put every other issue up, social justice. They'll put everything from free abortions to gay marriage before ending the war. Now, however we might feel about those issues is a different matter, but for the purposes of an anti-war movement that's effective, you need white men, you need Christians, you need Midwesterners, you need middle America, you need mom and pop, and they probably wave the flag, and they're not as comfortable with a lot of the other things that you and I might bring in. So what I'm telling people is, leave the Free Mamiya signs at home, but leave your End the Fed signs and just single issue focus on this matter. And I know people say, well, everything comes back to the warfare welfare state. I get that. I mean, I woke up pretty early. My old man was reading Rand and Rothbard to me when before most of the listeners were probably born. So I get that. But what I want to see is an effective anti-war movement. And one of the first things that, of course, Come On America did besides put out this book is wrote a letter, Dear President Obama and members of Congress. And this is a well-drafted, reasonable letter that stays very narrow. And I'll tell you some of the names that are on here. You've got Elliot Adams, President of Veterans for Peace. You have Idina Ahmad, President of Minaretta Freedom Institute. Lisa Albrecht, professor. Now, she's a social justice professor at the University of Minnesota. Larissa Alexandrovna from The Rural Story, and so on. I mean, James Babb, Jim Babka, Michael Badnarik, people you know and trust and people who you know are serious about this issue. And this letter, if you go to comehomeamerica.us, you can add your signature below, or you can email me at angela@antiwar.com, and I'll add your name and whatever affiliation or location that you're from. And this is not because we think, Barack Obama is going to say, oh, my God, Kevin Carson wants us to get out of Afghanistan. We must get out. But no, what we want is that we want every American to see that all kinds of people are against the war. That being against war is what's reasonable and patriotic and what's good for America. I mean, what we have in mind is the best interest of the U.S. So the usual, you're a bunch of peacenik commies isn't going to work here, especially when you have people from the Nixon administration even joining with us saying, we've got to get out of Afghanistan. And we're starting with Afghanistan because that should be the most obvious case. And one by one, we should be withdrawing from every one of these countries.
Well, what's your opposition, though? What are you up against? What are you finding? If you got this wide of a base of support for what you're trying to accomplish, I'm wondering who you're against.
Well, we'll start with the people who's who put partisanship before principle, and I would start with moderate liberals, the people, not the left, but moderate liberals who dropped out of the anti-war movement or who gave Barack Obama far too much of the benefit of the doubt. Of course, to be fair, Barack Obama was very clear that he was going to ramp up the war in Afghanistan and that he was going to expand the war, and he has certainly has expanded the death and destruction well into Pakistan. He's flown over many more, you know, he's responsible for many more drone deaths than even that monster George W. Bush. So he kept on that promise. Barack Obama's anti-war position was entirely illusory. He made one speech on Iraq in 2007, and with PR and between PR and wishful thinking, he managed to convince people he was the anti-war candidate, even though there's no evidence to back this up. People were, you know, white liberals, you know, they're so race and partisan oriented that they thought it was more important to elect a Democrat who is black than elect someone who actually represents liberal values. So instead, now we have a spokesman from Goldman Sachs who hasn't met a war yet he doesn't like. I mean, Libya? Really, I mean, Libya. If you had told me 6 months ago, my head would be spinning. But no, I mean, that's the reality now. We're, of course, the U.S. has a presence in Libya. So moderate liberals would be one camp. Of course, the neoconservatives, you know, are still living in another century, and they wish to stay there, and that's fine. And then there are, of course, the nationalists. And within that, there are a lot of, you know, this is not to pick any particular religious denomination or sect, but within that, there are certain kinds of Christians who are much more committed to nationalism and the religion of national identity than they are to Christ. So instead, we get, I mean, these are the people who push back, the people who scream Sharia every time you talk about a more humble foreign policy, more of a republic than an empire. They're absolutely frightened, and they need that sense of other too. And we've never gotten away from race-based politics in the U.S.
You know, I give you a good example, Angela. This is I went on Freedom of the Seas. It's a big giant ship. Blah blah blah. We're doing the tour. Mark got married and having fun. As we get on, you get your card. Now this card is your credit card. It's your ID. It's your everything. You know, so you want to know Big Brother and how it's going to work with cameras all over the ship and they tracking everybody. Give you a lot of stories. We'll talk about it later. But you know, the card. And what would happen is when you get your card, the first thing you do is they have behind you a picture of the ship, and they take a picture of you and whoever's in your cabin. So, of course, they want to sell you the picture later. But what it does is it does facial recognition on you, and any picture, they don't ask your name or room number or anything. They just go around, got these photographers taking pictures everywhere, and facial recognition software automatically groups them all into one picture for an album that you got later. Well, that's kind of cool for, you know, application of finding your pictures and makes it easier, but it's also kind of Big Brotherish, you know? So we're in the elevator with another older couple that the typical older couple, you know, they're Florida retirees, kind of, you know, whatever. My wife, Donna, and I are going down, and they asked a question, well, why did they do it? And I go, well, it's, you know, I explained what they're doing, the facial recognition thing and how that works. I go, you know, all that Big Brother stuff. And the guy says this, he goes, well, we are at war. And immediately it came to mind what Lee Wrights, one of the candidates for the Libertarian presidential nomination, said. His slogan is, I am not at war. I'm not at war. And I looked right at him and I go, I'm not at war. I'm not at war. It's a collective thinking of we. And I'm going, yeah, well, don't put me in there. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, Angela Keaton, antiwar.com in just a little bit.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
I want to break free.
We're trying to tell everybody else, too. Here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, we have Angela Keaton from antiwar.com. Now, Angela's been a libertarian activist for a long, 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 long time and knows where all the people got their skeletons buried. And she's been involved in this. I tell you, Angela, help us out with that. I mean, what has been your primary focus all these years? I know it's freedom, but how did the anti-war start to bubble up inside you to become so involved in that one issue?
You know, 9/11 and, you know, Harry Brown the very next day was getting me all riled up. I'd been when I was station manager at 91.7 in Austin, of course, I was working on with other projects with a guy named Scott Horton, who had became more and more focused on the war, too. And libertarians have always, libertarians were way ahead of this on everything, like anything else. Longtime libertarian activist Eric Garris, along with Colin Hunter and Justin Raimondo, they got the URL antiwar.com in 1995. Of course, this is during the Clinton administration's, the Clinton regime's wars. So this has been, libertarians have actually been on the forefront of this issue for a long time. But for me, really after 9/11 is when I started rearranging the order of my priorities, but to put the war first. And, of course, in terms of both civil liberties and money, this is absolutely the worst thing. The war is an anarchist nightmare. I mean, it's big government and big theft, big murder all at the same time.
Big murder. Big collectivized, mechanized, organized, ritualized murder to a drum. Everybody's going, well, we are at war. I'm not. I really like that campaign slogan, I am not at war. And, pick your war. War on illiteracy, war on poverty, war on drugs, war. And it's always war is the health of the state kind of thing. So I'm just like, can we not? So tell me what how long ago was comehomeamerica.us, the book, published?
Actually published toward the end of last year, and we've been kind of distributing it in sort of this sample paperback form, but it's actually going to be reissued by, Chelsea Green Books, a publisher that handles these sorts of, things that are strictly peace-oriented. We'll be reissuing this in September, so you'll probably see it with a new cover and in a bigger, healthier form soon, but anyone who's interested in talking to me about the book or is interested in a copy can email me at angela@antiwar.com. And I would love to talk to, whomever about chapters in their area. But one thing also, too, I want to remind people is if you go to comehomeamerica.us, you, too, can add your signature, or you can just email me at angela@antiwar.com, and I'll make sure your signature's you're added to the list.
Well, tell me about John Walsh. I mean, his role, it was interesting hearing him speak and talking to him, and he wasn't ready to give up his progressive credentials, but I think he understood what you were trying to do and accomplish, and he's willing to play. And I'm just give me a background on him. What kind of person is he? Where did he come from?
Well, Dr. Walsh is an actual medical doctor, MD. We're talking about serious human beings who have longtime credentials in the anti-war movement. But where I first heard of Dr. Walsh was at Counterpunch, counterpunch.org. Alexander Coburn and Jeffrey Sinclair's excellent site, which, it's a hard left site, but there are many, many things that libertarians and anarchists can learn and appreciate about Counterpunch. And Dr. Walsh, I saw his articles there. And, of course, his articles have also been, he also has original articles published on antiwar.com. And he's a longtime anti-war activist. And these are people who have, the people who are involved in Come On America, these are not, these are not the people whose commitment to war wavers depending on whose administration or whatever regime is in power. These are people who are committed against war. These are people who are against violence, and this is a cornerstone of whether they see the social justice issue or an example of the evils of big government. It's pretty much consistent with all the people that are involved are that republic, not an empire, a much more humble foreign policy, a constitutional foreign policy, even for people who haven't quite, don't understand the anarchism where you and I might be coming from, is that if you care about the Constitution and you do still hold, you do still hold a commitment to it, then clearly you'd have to realize that our Constitution does not allow for any of these actions.
Well, and what do they feel is the role of government then? I'm glad that we're able to focus on one thing. We can focus on war is bad for everybody. I mean, it's kind of the Barry Goldwater days, war is bad for every living thing. And I want to make sure that when I talk to John, Dr. Walsh, is I go, what are you hoping to get out of this coalition? Well, I mean, you would think that he would say, you know, end all wars. And I go, great. You know, and then what? And hopefully, you know, we'll worry about that later. But I'm really looking at, when you're dealing with the people on the right, they're keep talking about, you know, the threat that we have from Al-Qaeda, and they want to kill us, and they want to kill us, and, you know, Islam this and so on, and the Muslims gonna, and I'm going, you know, I don't have a single one of them with a gun to my forehead taking my money that's funding all this wars. I mean, everything that has anything to do with the health of the state from these wars, it comes from my own government, or the ones that are taking away my civil liberties. They're groping me at the check-in line or TSA checkpoint going on vacation. Or I mean, it's just everything that you would say that the very government you're talking about and you're supporting to protect us are the very ones that are doing the very things that they're saying we need to be guarding against. So from the left, are they willing to dismantle this grid, this security thing, this expansion of government, because the benefit of doing away with the war mentality that we have is to get us out of all of this Orwellian 1984, like it was a instruction manual or something. And do you get that feeling from them, or do they just want to use the power of government for something else?
Well, you know, in fairness to people on the left, and even a few, you know, moderate kind of progressives like Glenn Greenwald, I mean, there's always been a distrust of a certain, you know, big government in the area of civil liberties. I mean, these are people who are not happy with the Patriot Act. And I mean, people not happy with the Patriot Act, I mean, it's everyone from Ralph Nader to Cynthia McKinney. I mean, it's a pretty broad section on the left that rejects things like the bailouts, that rejects, you know, that's suspicious of the Federal Reserve, that absolutely wants to, you know, obliterate the Patriot Act. So there's enough common agreement there. Heck, there's enough common agreement there with Chuck Baldwin even to get real significant change. I mean, if those were the only changes we were managed to make in the next few years, imagine what kind of how much freer and richer our lives would be.
Well, this is because what I'm asking. Who are we up against? I mean, this becomes such a popular message with the youth. It's starting to gain ground with everybody else. It's sure as heck is, you know, financially it's becoming an issue. I mean, this is, they're talking about the debt ceiling and extending, but they never talk about, you know, cutting the empire. You know, heck no. You know, he's doing cut entitlements, this, that, but never does it even, they even broach the subject about bringing the empire down, you know, certainly our foreign bases and so on. So I'm wondering, you know, I still haven't got quite a clear picture on what we have to conquer. Is it just individual minds that we just got to change the culture? Or is there some opposition or coalition behind a particular candidate or a campaign? Or is this work just what?
It's all those things. I mean, yes, you're going to have to change the culture. We're going to have to get away from the language and militarism. And yes, we're going to have to rethink our politics. I mean, libertarians, you know, back when I was, you know, back in the olden days, pre-Ron Paul 2007, we always had to work in, libertarians always were such small numbers, we had to work in coalitions to get to effect any change. And we've always put the, you know, we've always had the wrong goals. I mean, like, you know, we talk about the LP as if the goal is to just get people elected to dog catcher. The goal has always been a freer society, and that's the thing that we're trying to do, practical changes to, you know, to stop the government's reach. But it's all those, you know, it's like in terms of who our rollback is, it's people, you know, people who are part of the Obama cult. It's neoconservatives. It's nationalists.
Well, I'm glad you're out there, and it surprised me when you made that comment. Libertarians, we got to check our libertarianism at the door. You know, we got to focus on the anti-war part, you know, by us osmosis, just being associated with us, by us just being there, it's going to happen, and I've seen it happen. You know, Mike Duggar did a great job of it here in Arizona, and it made it very effective, and so I've already seen it work, and you're absolutely right. We need to focus on, you know, like people dying, being killed en masse. I mean, by the thousands. Boom. Stop it. Stop that. You know, maybe there'll be some of us left to fix the other stuff. Next, John Walsh, Dr. Walsh, is going to be on taking it the next step. Angela Keat from antiwar.com. Thanks for coming on, Angela. It's always great talking to you.
Thank you.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. Readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com are constantly provided the information that detail the real news between the lines of propaganda about government policies and the true relationship we all have with coercive governments. Learn the true condition of our economy, innovations and technological breakthroughs in energy, health, computer science, and space travel. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media, the media that is so last century. Corporate media has evolved into nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but we now have a fantastic alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com provides constant news updates on the issues that affect our lives in the most important ways. Our liberty and our property are under constant attack, and FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda while encouraging the participation of our readers. Join us at FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com, where the revolution between the ears has already moved. Tour.